This is your community radio station, 88.3 Southern FM.
Coming up right now is The Space Show. Welcome to The Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I'm Andrew Rennie. And on this evening's The Space Show, we tell the sad story of the Peregrine, not the bird, but the spacecraft that was supposed to land on the moon. A private spacecraft called Peregrine 1 was launched last week to travel to the moon. And last week we told you it was in serious trouble. Yes, very serious trouble. First up, let's hear from Astrobotic, which is the company that was doing this mission, about how it was supposed to travel to the moon, orbit the moon, and then land on the moon.
The general trajectory of how this goes is we have reserved a flight on the Vulcan launch vehicle that's going to fly December 24th. It's going to take off, I think it's 1:50 something in the morning, so it'll be an early nighttime flight. It's going to lift off and get us directly into what's called translunar injection. So we will be close to Earth, but on a trajectory that will more or less intersect with the moon's orbit. At that point, and this is within about an hour or so of launch, we're going to separate from the launch vehicle, and our lander and Astrobotic's mission begins. And at that point, it's our job to communicate to the spacecraft and to make small trajectory correction maneuvers on the way out. So this will be actually the first time we're firing our engines as a system. We've, of course, fired them individually here on Earth, but this is the first time it's been all together as a spacecraft, because you simply can't test that here on Earth. We're going to be doing those maneuvers to A, learn how to fly the spacecraft, and B, make sure that our trajectory is lined up directly with lunar orbit. We'll be doing at least one, likely up, potentially up to three of those trajectory correction maneuvers, and that's dependent on the precision of the initial launch. Now we're going to, when we get close to the moon, and this is a few days later, we're going to descend down into lunar orbit. And we're going to start at a high orbit, and Haley will probably know the numbers better than I will, so she could follow up with some more detail on that. And then we're going to go to a medium orbit and stay in that orbit for a little while we wait for the local lighting conditions to align. So we're actually going to get to the moon in just a few days. Most of the time between launch and landing is actually waiting for the local lighting to be correct. So basically, we're trying to land at a specific spot on the moon at a specific time, i.e. morning at this location near the Grünheisen domes. And because of that, we have to wait for the moon to rotate all the way around so that sunrise is happening while we're landing. So that's why there's a gap. And then we will descend down to our lowest orbit. We'll stay the least amount of time in that orbit, and then start our descent down to the surface. And that last final phase, that will be the real nail-biting wild event that we'll be witnessing live here in Pittsburgh at Mission Control Pittsburgh at Astrobotic. And that will be a fully autonomous descent down to the surface of the moon, and we'll be getting all of that data back live. And hopefully, if all goes well, a massive celebration down here on Earth as we transmit landing successful. At that point, we're going to be doing checkouts of the spacecraft, making sure everything's safe, and then we're going to turn the spacecraft payloads on one by one and begin the payload missions. And Haley, maybe you could add some color to some numbers on that.
Because of that.
Start with the orbit altitudes and
Yeah.
Any loitering times?
We'll have three moon orbits. The first is moon orbit one, which is about approximately 9,000 kilometers by 100 kilometers. And then moon orbit two, which is our parking orbit, which is approximately 750 kilometers by 100 kilometers. And then our third orbit, lunar orbit three, is 100 kilometers by 100 kilometers, and that's the orbit from which we'll start our descent sequence.
Well, that was what was intended. First off, they had to delay the launch until, I think it was Monday last week. And then things got away well. The new rocket, the Vulcan Centaur from United Launch Alliance, worked, by all accounts, perfectly and plonked perigene in the right place, in the right trajectory. But soon after the separation, they pressurized the propellant systems on the peregrine, and things went wrong from there. Well, I've used an auto-reader to read the press releases that were made by Astrobotic over the following few days.
Peregrine blog, January 8, update 1. After successfully separating from United Launch Alliance's Vulcan rocket, Astrobotic's Peregrine lunar lander began receiving telemetry via the NASA Deep Space Network. Astrobotic built avionics systems, including the primary command and data handling unit, as well as the thermal, propulsion, and power controllers, all powered on and performed as expected. After successful propulsion systems activation, Peregrine entered a safe operational state. Unfortunately, an anomaly then occurred, which prevented Astrobotic from achieving a stable sun-pointing orientation. The team is responding in real time as the situation unfolds and will be providing updates as more data is obtained and analyzed. Update 2. We continue to gather data and report our best assessment of what we see. The team believes that the likely cause of the unstable sun pointing is a propulsion anomaly that, if proven true, threatens the ability of the spacecraft to soft land on the moon. As the team fights to troubleshoot the issue, the spacecraft battery is reaching operationally low levels. Just before entering a known period of communication outage, the team developed and executed an improvised maneuver to reorient the solar panels toward the sun. Shortly after this maneuver, the spacecraft entered an expected period of communication loss. We will provide more updates as Peregrine comes in view of the ground station again. Update 3. We have successfully re-established communications with Peregrine after the known communication blackout. The team's improvised maneuver was successful in reorienting Peregrine's solar array towards the sun. We are now charging the battery. The Mission Anomaly Board continues to evaluate the data we're receiving and is assessing the status of what we believe to be the root of the anomaly, a failure within the propulsion system. We are grateful for the outpouring of support we're receiving, from messages on social media to phone calls and helping hands. This is what makes the space industry so special, that we unite in the face of adversity. A heartfelt thank you from the entire Peregrine Mission 1 team. Update 4. Unfortunately, it appears the failure within the propulsion system is causing a critical loss of propellant. The team is working to try and stabilize this loss, but given the situation, we have prioritized maximizing the science and data we can capture. We are currently assessing what alternative mission profiles may be feasible at this time. Update 5. We've received the first image from Peregrine in space. The camera utilized is mounted atop a payload deck and shows multi-layer insulation, MLI, in the foreground. The disturbance of the MLI is the first visual clue that aligns with our telemetry data pointing to a propulsion system anomaly. Nonetheless, the spacecraft's battery is now fully charged, and we are using Peregrine's existing power to perform as many payload and spacecraft operations as possible. At this time, the majority of our Peregrine mission team has been awake and working diligently for more than 24 hours. We ask for your patience as we reassess incoming data so we can provide ongoing updates later this evening. Update 6. January 9. An ongoing propellant leak is causing the spacecraft's attitude control system, ACS, thrusters to operate well beyond their expected service life cycles to keep the lander from an uncontrollable tumble. If the thrusters can continue to operate, we believe the spacecraft could continue in a stable sun-pointing state for approximately 40 more hours, based on current fuel consumption. At this time, the goal is to get Peregrine as close to lunar distance as we can before it loses the ability to maintain its sun-pointing position and subsequently loses power. Update 7. The Peregrine spacecraft has now been operational for about 32 hours. Overnight, the team faced another spacecraft pointing issue, but continues to persevere. The spacecraft started to tilt away from the sun and reduced its solar power generation. The team was able to update the control algorithm and fix this issue. The batteries are at full charge. Given the propellant leak, there is, unfortunately, no chance of a soft landing on the moon. However, we do still have enough propellant to continue to operate the vehicle as a spacecraft. The team has updated its estimates, and we currently expect to run out of propellant in about 40 hours from now, an improvement from last night's estimate. The team continues to work to find ways to extend Peregrine's operational life. We are in a stable operating mode and are working payload and spacecraft tests and checkouts. We continue receiving valuable data and proving spaceflight operations for components and software relating to our next lunar lander mission, Griffin. Update 8. Astrobotic's current hypothesis about the Peregrine spacecraft's propulsion anomaly is that a valve between the helium pressurant and the oxidizer failed to reseal after actuation during initialization. This led to a rush of high-pressure helium that spiked the pressure in the oxidizer tank beyond its operating limit and subsequently ruptured the tank. While this is a working theory, a full analysis report will be produced by a formal review board made up of industry experts after the mission is complete. All available data is being downloaded from the lander to support this assessment. ULA's Vulcan rocket inserted Peregrine into the planned translunar trajectory without issue. There is no indication that the propulsion anomaly occurred as a result of the launch. Update 9. A second image showing some of Peregrine's payloads.
And yes, Peregrine has been returning some images of the payload, also of one of the rovers. A picture came back of that. And yes, Peregrine is working quite well, except for the propulsion system problem. Anyway, let's continue now here on the Space Show with the sad story of Peregrine with some more of the official releases from the company Astrobotic.
Update number 10 for Peregrine Mission 1. Peregrine has been operational in space for 55 hours. We are at an approximate distance of 307,000 kilometers from Earth, which is 80% of the way to lunar distance. Although we are approaching lunar distance, the moon won't be there. We remain on our nominal trajectory for the mission, which includes a phasing loop around Earth. This loop goes out to lunar distance, swings back around the Earth, and then cruises out to meet the Moon. This trajectory reaches the Moon in about 15 days post-launch. Peregrine continues to leak propellant but remains operationally stable and continues to gather valuable data. We estimate that we will run out of propellant in about 35 hours, an improvement on yesterday's update. The team is working around the clock to generate options to extend the spacecraft's life. Update number 11. Peregrine remains stable and fully charged. The spacecraft continues to transmit valuable data. We are now 320,000 kilometers from Earth, which is about 84% of the way to lunar distance. We estimate that the spacecraft has about 36 hours of propellant remaining, another improvement since this morning. Update number 12. As Peregrine emerges from a planned communications blackout with NASA's DSN ground network, we're pleased to announce the team's efforts to gather payload data have been fruitful. We have successfully received data from all 9 payloads designed to communicate with the lander. All 10 payloads requiring power have received it, while the remaining 10 payloads aboard the spacecraft are passive. These payloads have now been able to prove operational capability in space, and payload teams are analyzing the impact of this development now. Update number 13 for Peregrine Mission 1. Since receiving power and telemetry, the IRIS rover payload has sent a message from space. NASA has also released a preliminary science assessment. Two of the payloads, NSS and LETS, are making measurements of the radiation environment in interplanetary space around the Earth and the Moon. The two instruments are measuring different components of the radiation spectrum, which provide complementary insights into the galactic cosmic ray activity and space weather resulting from solar activity. This data helps characterize the interplanetary radiation environment for humans and electronics. We currently estimate that the spacecraft has about 48 hours of propellant remaining, which is a significant improvement from yesterday. Our estimates for propellant life expectancy have been changing because the rate of the leak has slowed more than anticipated. A slowing leak rate is expected as the pressure drops, but there may be some change in the size of the propulsion system's rupture as the pressure decreases or some other factor making it difficult to predict. Peregrine has been operating in space for 3.5 days. It is now 360,000 kilometers from Earth, which is 94% of lunar distance. Update number 14. Peregrine has now been operational in space for more than 4 days. The spacecraft remains stable and operational. The leak rate on Peregrine has continued to slow, and the spacecraft is estimated to now have 52 hours of propellant remaining. Our engineers continue to work on solutions to extend life expectancy, and there is growing optimism that Peregrine could survive much longer than the current estimate. The payload teams continue to operate and receive power and telemetry from their instruments. Update number 15. Peregrine remains operational at about 381,000 kilometers from Earth, which means that we have reached lunar distance. As we posted in update number 10, the Moon is not where the spacecraft is now. Our original trajectory had us arriving at the Moon on day 15 post-launch. Our propellant estimates currently have us running out of fuel before this 15-day mark. However, our engineers are still optimistic about extending Peregrine's life expectancy. Update number 16. Over the last week, Astrobotics Mission Control Center has been tracking Peregrine's trajectory. Our analysis effort has been challenging due to the propellant leak, which has been adding uncertainty to predictions of the vehicle's trajectory. Our latest assessment now shows the spacecraft is on a path towards Earth, where it will likely burn up in the Earth's atmosphere. The team is currently assessing options and we will update as soon as we are able. The propellant leak has slowed considerably to the point where it is no longer the team's top priority. A reminder that a soft landing on the Moon is not possible. We have now been operating in space for 5 days and 8 hours and are about 387,000 kilometers from Earth. Update number 17. Since the Peregrine Lunar Lander's anomaly occurred 6 days ago, we have been evaluating how best to safely end the spacecraft's mission to protect satellites in Earth orbit as well as ensure we do not create debris in cislunar space. Working with NASA, we received inputs from the space community and the U.S. government on the most safe and responsible course of action to end Peregrine's mission. The recommendation we have received is to let the spacecraft burn up during re-entry in Earth's atmosphere. Since this is a commercial mission, the final decision of Peregrine's final flight path is in our hands. Ultimately, we must balance our own desire to extend Peregrine's life, operate payloads, and learn more about the spacecraft, with the risk that our damaged spacecraft could cause a problem in cislunar space. As such, we have made the difficult decision to maintain the current spacecraft's trajectory to re-enter the Earth's atmosphere. By responsibly ending Peregrine's mission, we are doing our part to preserve the future of cislunar space for all. Despite the propulsion system issue, the Astrobotic mission team has worked tirelessly to stabilize the vehicle, turn on all active payloads, and enable the collection of payload data. The spacecraft has been operating in space for 6 days and 16 hours, and Peregrine continues to leak propellant, but now at a very slow rate. Yesterday afternoon, we test-fired one of the main engines for the first time. We achieved a 200-millisecond burn and acquired data that indicated Peregrine could have main engine propulsive capability. However, due to the anomaly, The fuel-to-oxidizer ratio is well outside of the normal operating range of the main engines, making long-controlled burns impossible. The team projects that the spacecraft has enough remaining propellant to maintain sun pointing and perform small maneuvers. Peregrine will soon return to Earth's atmosphere, and the vehicle is now about 374,000 kilometers away. Update number 18. Peregrine has been operational in space for 7 days and 13 hours. The spacecraft continues to be responsive, operational, and stable, and remains on its previously reported trajectory toward Earth's atmosphere. The propellant leak caused by the anomaly has practically stopped. The team continues to work with NASA and U.S. government agencies to assess the final trajectory path in which the vehicle is expected to burn up. Peregrine is now about 349,000 kilometers away from Earth. Update number 19. January 17. The Peregrine spacecraft continues to be responsive and stable and has been operational in space for 8 days and 16 hours. The mission team is continuously monitoring the spacecraft's trajectory back to Earth. We remain in contact with our U.S. government partners to ensure as safe a re-entry path as possible. As a reminder, Peregrine reached apogee on Saturday and is now about 293,000 kilometers from Earth.
And that latest report published earlier today, and the word is that it's going to re-enter the Earth's atmosphere tomorrow, Universal time. I'm not sure what time that will be, Australian time, because they have not published an exact time. The problem is they don't want it to collide with any of the other low-orbiting or geostationary satellites that are in orbit around the Earth. So, sad ending to the Peregrine mission. Meanwhile, Japan's SLIM spacecraft, which was launched on September the 6th last year and went into orbit on Christmas Day, is due to land in 2 days' time on January the 19th, which will actually be January 20 here in Australia at 2:20 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. That's when they plan to land. If it can't land then, there's a backup date of February the 16th. So that's the Japanese lander. Hopefully we'll have more luck than the American one. This is The Space Show.
You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.